Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 332, Justice League. We were so lazy we didn't have a subtitle. All these have subtitles anymore.
Well, yeah. When they're not the first of their kind.
How do they not have a subtitle?
For Man of Steel.
What's that?
There was no subtitle for Man of Steel.
Wasn't there?
No.
No, this not did have the a lot of
the only one they had was BVS, or Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah. This,
well, I thought they all had
this subtitles. Just had a lot of bad typography and logo usage.
Yeah. That is true.
You can tell Lux is in jail.
Yeah, he's the main designer.
Apparently the interns are working on this at LexCorp.
Yeah. Poor LexCorp.
Lucky we didn't get Comic Sans, which apparently it is now, you're now not allowed to...
Say
not,
comic?
You're not allowed to not like Comic Sans. That is offensive to people.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
It is.
Is it ironic now?
No, because so Comic Sans, as you probably know, Joe, is the scanned typography from Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. But most typeface will recycle images. So like the lowercase Q is just the P backwards and the D is the B backwards. And Comic Sans does not do that. Why is that important? Anyone?
Because that means they had to go through and make every letter?
Because it's easier for people with dyslexia to read. So people with dyslexia will actually convert things to Comic Sans so they can read it more easily.
No, I stand
my
by
gosh.
It still
now,
sucks.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that is true.
No, that's fair.
That is absolutely true.
It doesn't mean
true.
You can't like it, but you just can't make fun of people that use it because they may have an issue.
Yeah.
But you can still not like it. Okay. Free country.
So free country. If you make fun of Comic Sans, you're making fun of people with dyslexia.
Just the entire disease.
Take that. So,
or I would be making fun of an old boss who wanted us to use that for presentations because she thought it was a jolly font.
Makes it fun.
Wow.
Oh my God.
It did not land those jobs.
Have you guys, I don't believe this was dyslexia related, but have you guys ever gotten emails in Comic Sans?
Oh.
Those are always the ones where you're just like, well, crap, now I have a virus.
Yeah. Oops.
I just assume it's a chain letter.
Right.
Yeah. Like, as soon as I see Comic Sans, it's like chain letter.
That's not real, right?
No. Yeah. Comic Sans in like red or blue.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So we will have so much to talk about with a comic book movie. We probably shouldn't waste time talking about Comic Sans.
Yeah.
So let's go around the table first and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Bat Dan.
Oh, are you somber? Are you sad that you're here? Is that what's going on right now?
Doing my version of the bad voice.
Oh.
Bat Dan.
Yeah, that's better. There you go. This is Joe.
This is Aqua Kevin.
Oh, that's an interesting choice.
Do you be Cyborg Joe?
Ah, crap!
I'm Wonder Tom?
Sure.
Sure. So before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on iTunes. If you haven't subscribed, you should. And you can also find us on Facebook. If you haven't liked the page or joined the League of Show Sharers, you should also do that.
Has Taquito Platano left any more reviews while we've been recording?
We have 5 more reviews from Taquito Platano. Plantano. I think it's Plantano.
Maybe it's from
Plantano.
The dog.
Plantano.
Yeah, dog. Like plantain.
It says, right, that's what it is.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
We got to bring Marshall in here and be like, hey, can you translate this, please? We don't know what the hell he's saying.
So anyway, there. That's all that. Justice League.
Oh, get so we this. Are 5 in, right?
Sure.
5 movies, sure feels 5 movies into like this more. Franchise. Franchise? I guess it's a franchise.
Universe.
Let's just sure, call it whatever.
The DCU.
The extended universe.
Yeah.
Is it extended though? Is it? I would call it the DCCU. It's the DC collapsing universe.
That's actually trademark together. Real spoilers.
That's yeah,
falling.
There's our new T-shirt right yes. there.
The DCCU.
Yeah. We've got the Broverlord and the yeah. So we open in Gotham City. So I guess we should say there in I don't know a year ago, 2 years ago, they rebooted the DC. Comic universe mm-hmm. with the new 52 went back to square one sort of with certain characters, and the first arc of the Justice League comic by Geoff Johns and Jim Lee is basically this movie. Parademons are starting to show up. The League has to come together for the first time mm-hmm. and fight off Darkseid. Darkseid's not in this one. It's Steppenwolf. And it's
I was hoping it would have been Darkseid.
They haven't earned anything.
I know, but
honestly.
I don't know that we'll get there in this universe.
We're not going
we
to.
We already know that they didn't earn. I mean, that was the problem with Suicide Squad is they didn't earn that.
No.
Right. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Dial it back.
Do a rogues gallery before we even see the heroes.
Right.
That boomerang, jerks. Though.
He
they held it back. They didn't earn the boomerang.
They wanted to wait. They wanted to make sure that it was worth it when he threw it.
He introduced the boomerang.
Throw
and
the boomerang.
Private boomerang, maybe. Captain?
Recruit boomerang?
We all know when you introduce a boomerang in Act 1.
Yeah, you're going to see it again in Act 4.
Maybe.
Maybe. So this movie opens up with Batman chasing after a criminal who is, I think his name is Holt McNeil.
So this is the opening of Batman 1989.
Basically.
Didn't it remind you of that exact
yes.
opening?
Yeah,
well,
same
scratchy
theme.
Throat.
Yeah, he was... So in Batman vs. Superman, they reveal that the guy they shoot in the beginning is Jimmy Olsen. And he's like, yeah, it's cool. I was willing to bet this was Harvey Bullock. Like, this was all a setup to lure out the Parademon. So because like Batman just leaves the dude, like he fights the Parademon in a garbage looking fight, and he leaves the guy tied up, and just like pimps away.
No, he's not tied up.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's walking around on the rooftop asking.
He's hopping around.
But he's walking around. He's like, what was that?
Yeah, right. Like, that's what makes me think that was Harvey Bullock.
Could have been.
But we're just having fun with it, bro. That's what I mean. Like, because I went through the credits and, like, he doesn't. I went on IMDb and he doesn't show up on IMDb.
And this guy's been
this
heavy
movie.
On a lot of things, like monster trucks.
That's right.
That's the
Lights Out, which is a really good show. I like that show.
But I think we have to talk about, since you kind of brushed by it, the garbage CG in this movie.
Man, it looks terrible.
It is.
Where
so,
did the money go?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, I wanted. I really
so
wanted.
I guess we should say that the opening scene.
Oh yeah!
Right
what off the bat,
the
lip.
It was creepy.
It
was creepy, and
it was
bad.
Still better than the post credit scene.
Yeah,
is that was that
with
what that
Flash.
Was?
See,
yeah. was that post credit scene CG'd mustache?
It was his mouth. I think they were like, getting rid of facial hair, and so they put him. That looked like Clutch Cargo.
So
that was brutal.
I like
say
the
they
scene?
Could yeah they could have done the Cesar Romero better.
Yeah, like I liked that end credit scene. Mm-hmm. Between them, like I like the interaction, but yes, his face, which is a shame
weird.
Because that dude looks like Superman. Mm-hmm. without the, even with the mustache, he's still like, he's got the jaw, he's got the butt chin, he looks like Superman.
I knew about, obviously I knew about the whole mustache thing, we've been joking about it, but I don't know if it's because the theater I was at had a smaller screen and I was further back.
I saw it in IMAX.
Okay, you had a bigger screen. I couldn't tell, honestly. So I was looking for it, like, where's the correction? So I didn't see it, yeah. But
oh man, it's like his, it's almost like Shaky Claws.
Yeah.
From Wolverine Origins.
It was
like
rough.
It's like a
small screen.
Yeah.
It's like a cell phone footage of a kid talking to Superman before he dies.
And so is that why they did a cell phone thing to try to correct to make it look a little...
Yeah, to hide it.
It didn't help. Yeah. That's the bad part.
What was that all about? Like, when it started off like that, I'm just like, what?
Yeah, when he's just like, what is it? What is the best thing about Earth? And he's just like, I'm sure, like, I picture Superman being like, God.
You know what the line should have been? I was waiting for him. Like,
blueberry muffins.
No. But he smiles and it cuts away. But I was like, he should have said the people, because, like, he loves human beings and saves them. I can't believe he didn't say the people.
I don't know.
Well, and I think they probably, like, the assumption is he cut before he says that.
Yeah.
Right.
This, and that scene, I was like, that felt like a Whedon scene.
Yep.
But this movie is, like, weird because it looks like a Snyder movie. And it sounds like a Whedon movie.
You can tell every line.
Very anachronistic.
It's Josh Whedon Mad Libs.
It's
you know, and you can tell that, like, it's funny in a way. We got the movie we've always said we wanted, which is like, why can't they just let Josh Whedon do the action?
Yeah. Joss,
somebody, Joss, sorry, and let somebody else do the other stuff.
Right.
And we get it, and it's not
unfortunately
what we
the
wanted.
Guy that we got. Was Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like.
But he can do the visuals, but it's the CG that was atrocious.
It was so bad.
Every parademon, whatever, and even the moving, it's just like, because we're used to Nolan Batman, right? So, yeah, we've seen Batman and one other mashup, whatever. But before that, Nolan did things practical. He lifted a plane into the air and filmed a half plane in the air being held by helicopters. Yeah. So we're used to a physicality to Batman. And this movie, CG Batman flipping all over the place. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big CG guy, as I've said over and over. This entire movie is a cartoon.
Yep. Yeah.
And it just takes you out of it.
It is this.
How weird was it to see Batman fighting in daylight?
I didn't like it.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah, it's Batman Returns all over again. Yeah. Like he's
what
fight-
scene was it again? I'm trying
when
to remember.
They're fighting by the monument to dead Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah,
and they're like standing in a park just chatting.
Okay,
it
can
up.
I talk about that scene real quick?
Well,
if she calls him Clark.
In public with all the other people?
Oh,
she did that.
Yes.
She did that in BVS.
Yeah.
She called him Clark in front of, like,
how about,
people.
How about Bruce? How many times do they say, I think they say, okay, first of all, the Aquaman thing, which is, like, one of the first ones he rounds up, right?
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
He's in public.
Yeah.
And it's Bruce Wayne recruiting Aquaman.
Yeah.
And then he's calling him Bruce with people walking around, like, mm-hmm.
Well,
he is Bruce.
He is Bruce.
He's
at
not
that
Batman.
Point.
Oh no! But
and
nobody's talking about
horseback.
Him.
But it's a short line
connection.
To connect
that's
those
what I'm
dots.
Saying.
Between Bruce Wayne came in and recruited
Aquaman
and
right?
And now he's on a team
with
Batman.
Do you think that maybe they don't speak English?
No.
Were they?
They talked. They the fishermen.
Oh, that's true.
They did.
So that whole thing from a Batman secretive standpoint made no sense.
No.
I hated it.
No. But yeah, she like they show up at the monument and she's like, Clark, stop. Yeah. And there's cops everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
well, first of all, they're like, I thought Superman was dead. And the other guy's like, I thought Clark Kent was dead.
Yeah. But the whole time when he's lifted up with the shirtless for the whatever, that thing, it's Clark, nonstop.
Clark.
And that's a guy flying. Like
right.
it's mind boggling how they don't protect the identities
no,
in this movie.
Not whatsoever. And, so okay. So we go back. Bruce fights Batman fights the parademon, traps him, and then the parademon
explodes.
Who
are you, man?
Yeah.
Tell your
Who
friends.
Who are you?
Tell your friends.
Yeah,
I'm Batman.
That.
Yes, he does. In that first movie?
He doesn't say tell your friends.
Yes, he does.
What are
I'm
you?
I'm not going to kill you.
He does
I
say
want you
tell
you. I want you to tell your friends about me.
Tell
he does say that.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. Love it.
Oh, man. So Danny Elfman is back, and he does the Batman. There were hints of it.
Yeah.
There's also a hint of the
Superman
theme.
Yeah.
Completely unearned.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the right.
Yeah.
I was talking to Spath about this. It changes the tone of that movie immediately.
Yeah.
And it's tough because Cavill deserves the opportunity, and he gets it in this, but he's not in it enough. He's the bright spot of this movie for me.
Let's talk about that first of all. Why would you make a Justice League movie that has Superman? You're not fooling anyone. Why would there's not one poster with Superman on it?
Nope.
Yeah. Why not, would you? That's a missed opportunity right there.
Don't worry, the S is on one of the posters.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
And that in a type when they did that cheap typography.
Oh, yeah. Only we can save the world.
When they did their version of the coexist
bumper sticker. Yeah.
But you're not fooling anyone, right. And he plays a major role in this movie when he gets there. I mean, it's not a major time role, but he does some stuff.
And everybody knows about the mustache.
Yeah, that's right. What I mean. And it's not like you hit it. Secret. So later trailers and posters should have tacked him on there and saved
it. I'm glad we didn't see him in a trailer. I'm fine with that because we know he's coming. Mm-hmm. It's like Spider-Man, right? Like we know we knew Spider-Man was going to be in Captain America. You didn't have to show the entrance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I'm fine with not seeing him in the promo material, but
this is the difference.
He's
though.
Only in the movie for 15 minutes, 20
maybe.
Minutes.
He's in toward the end more.
That end sequence is maybe five, 10 minutes long.
But what you're missing though, like I don't like to watch trailers, so I don't want spoilers. I'm with you on that. But from a marketing standpoint, for the public that does watch trailers and loves trailers, they missed an opportunity for cash. Like, they made $90 million.
I think he's the,
you know?
As much as we bitched about Hulk in that trailer, based on box office, you kind of got to feel like,
I think he's also the most recognizable comic book / superhero ever.
And
absolutely.
There's nobody that touches him in popularity.
Like to Matt Reedy's point on the Source Spoilers thread, there's no, like, a friend from work line sold and solidified exactly what that movie, what Thor stood for. Like what that movie, what the experience was.
Yes.
It's like, you saw that line, it's like, okay, well, this is a little bit different than what we've seen in the past two movies.
Yeah, that line encapsulates the entire
film. That's the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But Thor isn't like, oh, thou is a friend from work. Like,
it's like the line that they had in that trailer where Alfred looks up and he was like, he said you'd come back.
Yeah.
We all need a little hope.
Not there.
Not in the movie at all.
Not in the movie.
Like, that's not in the movie.
Surprise.
Yeah.
And some people are speculating it's Green Lantern, but it has to be for Superman. It's about time. Like,
well, he says his symbol stands for hope.
Yes. Oh, well, then it's not.
Like, they do that on purpose. Like, it's obvious that he's talking to Superman.
Yeah.
But so, not in the movie.
So, like, yeah, there's Batman.
Right. Batman fights the Parademon.
Next thing you know, he's on horseback.
It's Nick Fury.
And I'm like, hold up. Okay, he's riding on horseback because, you know, in a snowy plain because it looks good. It looks cool, bro.
Yeah.
But then it's like, and then there's this huge, like, crevice, and then there down there's a little fishing village, and I'm like, hey, Bruce Wayne, you got helicopters, you got a fleet,
got all
you
kinds
seriously going to ride some donkey across the tundra?
I when picture you him on a donkey.
Like, hop on a helicopter and take you a little bit closer?
Yeah. It makes no sense.
It was dumb.
No.
It was just one of those scenes where it's like, it's just in it because it looks cool. Yeah.
Well, also, Frank Miller has that iconic picture of Batman, not Bruce Wayne.
On horseback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're just like, yeah, it's cool.
But that's the thing. It's like, we
didn't put that in the last movie. Let's put it in this one.
You're building a movie around things that look cool.
Right. That's a problem.
It's doesn't make it a movie.
Style versus substance.
Yeah, I think it's a big problem. Yeah. So they have the interaction with Aquaman, and I've always kind of liked Jason Momoa. He's kind of like walked that. I liked him a lot as Conan. Like, that movie isn't all that great, but he's pretty good as it. Like, I liked him as a character.
I think he's good. Nothing wrong with Jason Momoa.
No, and I think I liked his Aquaman.
I think that
he's a little bro-y.
He
walks that line of, like, being a bro. Yeah. But
the design's pretty badass. I'm on board with the design.
I think what I don't get about Aquaman's character is why he would be like that.
Yeah.
Like, don't get where that comes from. Like, if Thor was a bro, I get it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't get why Aquaman is
he
like
grew
that.
Up in Maine.
Yeah. Said my dad was a surfer,
right,
and my Atlantean queen mother hooked up with him, I'd be like, oh,
you're
okay.
Yeah, dad was a lighthouse operator.
Yeah.
Like, that's what your dad did.
I don't go straight to bro or surfer on lighthouse guys.
Right.
Yeah. And I agree. I enjoyed the interpretation of the character. I just don't get where it comes from.
Did you guys notice that, like, when Bruce is like talking to the villagers and he's like, I'm looking for somebody. It's like, well, the guy that's like 2 feet taller yeah. than everybody else.
The guy with the
might be the guy.
Super light blue eyes yeah. and the
He's
know.
Like massive. He's like a giant hiding in a sea of villagers.
Look at
like,
you're in a fishing village. Look at everybody's plate. The guy eating a burger, he's your dude.
Yeah, and this is the scene you see in the trailer yeah. where he's just like, you know, he comes in on the King Tide that was 2 days ago, and of course, and I do like I dig his look. Like I like yeah. the yeah. it looks it's a cool. lot like the Peter David. Long hair, beard.
Yeah.
No hook for a hand.
Say, okay, don't do the hook. Don't do the hook. Don't do the hook.
They need this whole franchise needs the hook.
The hook. Yeah. yeah. Gong, if you will.
yes.
So then he kind of says, I'm not helping you. Like, right. I'm out. So Bruce,
I'm sure we'll never see him again.
And I'm going to walk in really slow-mo through these crashing waves.
And I like
drinking some whiskey.
That's later. But yes.
I'm just like,
that's also, yeah.
The slow-mo. I hate I do not like the Zack Snyder slow-mo.
No.
I think it liked works. It since Watchmen.
It was great.
I
think
Watchmen.
It was
great. Watchmen, but Watchmen basically was, you know, he was using the book as yeah. a storyboard.
He recreated cool it that. Perfectly with yes. that slow-mo. It was
but
great.
But I'm like, I am so tired of the slow-mo because it just takes me, I don't know, I just find it like, yeah.
And it's all obviously it's all CG, it just adds fake. That weird, yeah.
There's an uncanny valley yeah. that goes along with his version of the slow-mo.
Yeah.
And one of the slow-mo scenes that I liked is when he's fighting the Flash. When Superman's fighting the Flash.
That's
I thought that awesome. Was awesome. Yeah.
Yes. That was all Whedon.
We'll bring right? like well I'll get to that scene, but I love that
okay,
scene.
Okay, so with okay, and do you mean Quicksilver or the Flash? I can't remember which one was in this.
I mean the Flash in this one.
Oh, this was
either
the, okay.
Quicksilver.
So yeah, because obviously they completely stole that
oh,
from
absolutely.
The Quicksilver.
Yeah.
But okay, with the Flash you need to slow down because that's how he perceives the right. world. Yeah. So totally slow True. Down for the Flash, right. but it's everybody else with the but I'm everybody. Gonna do a kick in the air and I'm gonna slide here and it's mainly
slow-mo.
Wonder Woman stuff.
Yeah,
so.
It makes yeah. me even more frustrated because it's like, you know, we just saw a Wonder Woman movie where they didn't really do a lot.
They
of
did
slow-mo.
One that one scene was the a major
sure.
offender.
Yeah,
but every but time she like, catches a bullet, it has to be the slow mo. Let's yeah. do this over
like
and
we
over.
We saw them handle yeah. a character, yeah. and have her not do the slow mo, and it looked really good.
Yeah. Can we talk about how she was newly pregnant on this movie, and at every cut. She was throwing up in a bucket
no,
and then
really.
Going back to scene to finish it.
Wow.
And I was like, are you Wonder Woman?
Well, she yeah. is a soldier.
Are you she's really like, Wonder Woman? Like, I don't
she's
know.
She's a soldier. She's tough.
It's she. Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the thing is like, and then she goes back to do reshoots when she's like 8 months pregnant and they have to put a green screen wow. on her belly
yeah. she's awesome.
To green screen it out.
Yeah. They put that little,
yeah. They had to put something on her and be like, we can't be running around.
She's super awesome.
Yeah.
But did you guys, when we get to Wonder Woman, did you feel like they kind of like didn't like the character felt off?
Yeah,
it didn't feel off to me because I felt like I mean it was,
dialogue felt a little
because
like,
this was Snyder Wonder Woman, and yeah. I'm sure that Whedon obviously with the reshoots, but that was the problem was so Snyder was doing his thing, and then Wonder Woman came out, and then they needed more like mm-hmm. that, and so you got both mixed together in a weird
right,
way,
yeah. right?
And we were used to awesome Wonder Woman, and it just didn't.
I can't believe nobody's complained online yet about at least not that I've seen about that like it's very brief.
Her butt,
but you see her butt.
Yeah. You did, yeah. yeah.
That
yeah.
was during the slow mo, right?
Yeah, like you see not. I mean,
she's
you
not
see waiting. A cheek, and
you
I was
see
just
a cheek.
Yeah, and I was yes. just like, I'm like, this is exactly what we weren't doing in Wonder Woman,
right?
And as right. a male, I'm like, hey,
oh,
you know,
it's
butt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain. But as a film goer,
right.
I'm like, I yeah. didn't think that's the movie we were making.
Well,
she's wearing burgundy leather pants in another scene because I'm like, there's her burgundy leather pants
so they,
and a butt front and center.
That's, yeah. that's the scene but that I was thinking you were talking about.
No.
Like,
there's
they
one
are,
scene where her
right,
where
she hops out.
She like she you see her from behind, kind of come into frame, mm-hmm. and she
the
like hops down
like,
or something, and the flap on that skirt, which
skirt
is already really
up.
Short,
yeah.
lifts up, and you see a butt cheek.
Yeah,
yeah. I was just like, well, there's a lot of shots of her in those pants. Of her walking away,
yes.
and it's like it's not focusing on anything else
but
her
butt.
Ass. Like yeah. that's it. I'm that's, with you. I'm not complaining, but
no,
that's not
just,
the character.
As
and
a,
that's not the film.
As a pervert straight guy, I'm not complaining.
As
but,
an ass
but,
man, Tom.
But as a film critic, as somebody who's seen a movie, as
yes.
somebody, there that's not the way
they don't sexualize
they just,
her in Wonder Woman at all.
Right.
No. The sexual appeal in that movie comes from
her power, her character, and her power.
I was going to say,
not about her body.
It's so organic because they don't sexualize her, and she's so sexy because she's so badass.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sexy quote unquote ness, and it's very natural. Where, obviously, this is Snyder.
And the other issue that obviously has been brought up is that Snyder puts the Amazons in midriffs and shows off their abs, where in Wonder Woman, everything is covered up.
They're in great shape.
Fine.
Give them credit.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
As soon as they saw the Amazons, it wasn't just the redesigned outfits. It was the hair.
Yep.
Looked like this was off of a porn parody video.
Yes.
Because it was like
they had like the Farrah Fawcett thing going on.
Not only did their clothes get way smaller, but their hair got bigger and curlier and more. I was like, this really looks like a porn parody of the Wonder Woman.
Most of those women in Wonder Woman had shorter hair besides Hippolyta. Mm-hmm. Hippolyta? Besides Wonder Woman's
Hippolyta.
Mom.
Yeah.
Who had long hair.
Yeah.
But like all of those women had shorter.
Well, they had. And they also had headgear on.
Right. You
know. Yeah. Here's the deal. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, they're in great shape. That's awesome. They were still cool. But here's the thing. You're warriors. You wear armor. You don't wear sports bras to go to battle.
Right. Like guess what? They're gonna shoot you in the stomach because it's open.
So it doesn't make sense. Yeah. You know? Yeah, they look great, but it makes no sense. And it's just like what we were talking about with Batman and character reveals and saying their real first names, and it's like they're not thinking about logically what they should do here. They're just thinking about what looks good and what is a funny scene or a cool scene. And it doesn't make sense.
In the climate that we are in right now, I think over sexualizing this feminist icon and her teammates, not the Justice League sisters.
And I don't even think it's about the climate we're in. I think it's about the fact that they just made a really goddamn good movie that didn't do it, and then you completely take it back.
Yeah. Yep,
and
you completely erased it.
If they were going to reshoot something, and Joss Whedon, if you were going to reshoot something, reshoot all that stuff.
Yeah,
because
Joss Whedon has his own baggage.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference between a female director and a male director. That's just all that's to it.
Yeah.
I don't completely agree with that.
I think a male director
could. But I see what you're saying.
Well, I'm not saying it has to, but in this case, that's what I'm saying is Patty Jenkins handled it completely different than Zack Snyder.
Yes.
And even Joss Whedon coming in and not realizing that's an issue or, you know, not being as in tune with it.
I could even say maybe the upskirt shot maybe gets passed. You know what I mean?
But it was so, I was just like,
it was so obvious. Like, wow. Like that was her butt. Like that's.
And it felt like, I guess it's because I had watched an hour of the movie with her butt front and center.
Oh,
and so many shots that I was like.
And this was like the payoff.
Right.
Like,
oh,
here's the real thing, guys.
I was just like, wow.
And it's tough because that outfit does exist in the comics. Like she does.
It existed in the Wonder Woman movie.
Well, I mean, like the idea of that it's. Uh-huh. The underneath garment is smaller. Like the Alex Ross design of that costume kind of has a similar look to
it. Okay, but I mean,
I'm not saying it's right.
But Captain America punching out Japs existed in the comics. We don't do that anymore, you know.
Now what should have happened, the outfit should have changed from World War I to 2017. I mean, the outfit should have changed.
I don't
they
mind
just
the outfit not changing because it's kind of an iconic look.
I'm just saying.
Right.
That
I'm just gonna say this, and this will sound. You can make this sexist all you want. There's no way a woman sticks with one outfit for 7 years.
There you go.
That's not
without
a thing.
Without a little bit of redesign,
that is not a thing.
they just handled it poorly. So anyway, Nick Fury's trying to gather the crew.
Bruce Wayne.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So
he's trying to get Quick. They're trying to find Quicksilver because
the Flash.
Right?
Okay, we could stop with that. We're good.
It was
not Quicksilver.
Yeah, not Quicksilver.
Yeah.
So Dr. Manhattan shows up in this movie.
You know what's really funny though about how we perceive it that way, that because all these characters came first, all these characters
the DC
that were
characters
made,
are first.
All these Marvel characters that were referencing, they're the knockoffs of these characters.
Yeah,
it's the other way
they
around.
They just did it so much better in the movies.
Yeah. Oh, I was like easy slick. But yeah, like Flash is Superman is 38. The Flash is probably 40, 42, somewhere around
there. We all realize that the DC and Marvel stole every character and like copied every character from each other.
Marvel.
Not all the time.
A lot.
But there's back and forth. So Lobo is their Wolverine.
Slade Wilson, Wade Wilson.
Yeah.
That's DC had him first.
Was Deathstroke first?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wade Wilson didn't show up until like the 90s. Okay.
There used to be, I used to be able to name all four stretchy guys. There was Plastic Man, Elongated Man, Mr. Fantastic, and one more, and I cannot remember.
Stretchy guy. Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong.
No. In the comics. Yeah. But I think it was a Marvel guy.
So there's...
He had a yellow suit. You know what I'm talking about? You remember him? I think he wore a helmet.
Yes.
But there was four stretchy guys. I was like, do we really need that many?
So Elongated Man's on.
What's weird, too, is like it's not like any of them are this like classic character.
I think Reed Richards, but
he's not a standalone character.
No, that's true. Right. He's not. That's true.
There was four, though.
How about Rubbermaid?
What's he look like?
It's like a rubbery stretch character.
Is he yellow?
And he cleans your house?
Yeah. No, I think it's a girl, I guess.
Oh, no. There was one more. And I was just like, I just remember, like, even as a kid, I was like, oh, there's a lot of stretchy guys.
Here's one called Skin.
No.
Yeah, no, it was like, it goes back to like 60s, 70s. And I just remember thinking, what? Why they really like
that's an interesting power like a, to keep coming
know,
back
I,
to.
I always thought it was a dumb power, but it was like four of them.
It's a little much.
So yeah, so he goes and we meet Barry Allen, and he's talking to his dad, and Barry's just kind of a schlub. He's not, you know, doesn't really have anything going on. He's put all of his time and effort into proving that his dad is innocent. Shock! Here's spoilers. He is innocent.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you that right now.
He didn't kill his
He didn't kill his mom. It was Reverse Flash.
Well, it's Billy Crudup, so it's like we know he's innocent,
right? Of course. He's not very innocent. Almost Famous. He's kind
well,
of a
no,
prick
but
in that.
I mean, he's innocent because you know he's an actor that we're gonna want to probably see again.
Yeah. Right.
Good luck. Good luck making it to that one.
He's praying that he gets cast as Dr. Manhattan the Watchmen TV show. So Bruce breaks in, you know, this is the scene we get with that initial trailer, I think, or the teaser of him talking to Barry Allen. So Barry Allen's a forensic scientist, right? He's a CSI.
Not yet.
Okay, but he becomes one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You'd think the one guy who knows about fingerprints wouldn't have fingerless gloves. So he's just leaving fingerprints everywhere. And I'm sure all a CSI has to do is be like, it's Barry Allen.
I think what you haven't taken into account is that they're really fast fingerprints.
They're still fingerprints
as they go.
Yeah. Oh no, wait. Whoop. But yeah, like every time I see any superhero with fingerless gloves or no gloves, it's just like, what are you doing? Like you're leaving fingerprints everywhere.
So I will say that I'm not a huge Ezra Miller fan, and I thought that they were really going to overuse the humor and the stuff from the trailers as the Flash. I liked the Flash in this movie.
I hated it.
I could not stand this guy.
Couldn't stand him either.
See, I thought I was going to hate him, and then I ended up being like, okay. And I didn't really like him before. So
that's
I'm
not
like,
Barry Allen. He's not Barry Allen. He's Wally West.
He's Wally West.
Yeah, that's
the problem.
True. I could see that. Yeah.
He's not even Wally West.
But even then,
he's more Bart Allen.
Yeah, but I did not like this character at all.
I didn't like the suit design. I didn't like.
See, he had some Whedon. Some Whedon one-liners though that you can tell.
And
were
they all
Whedon.
Fell flat.
Really?
Every single one of them.
When
I liked the line, like I could step back and go on paper. Sure. I think that's clever. His delivery, I could not.
Maybe that's though because I could see the Whedon line. I'm like, that's a good line.
The line where he's like, oh, that was rude. Like that line could work where he's like the fish out of water. Everybody. They leave him. Line is okay, but man, the delivery was not good. I thought the lines for me definitely fell. I'm the same boat. Like I did not like this kid.
I thought he was okay, but yeah, you could tell what were Whedon lines, and I really appreciated the Whedon lines in this movie. Where I'm like, okay, this is actually.
I'm telling like the best parts of this movie is Superman, and I'm happy to be able to say that. But, like, that's the highlight.
He's not in much that takes an hour to get started.
Yeah,
you know?
We're still grading on a big curve. Yep. So here's the thing. For all my complaints, this movie, I hate to say a step in the right direction, but
it's a step, half a step backwards.
So removing Wonder Woman from the equation.
Yes.
Because that movie was great.
Yep.
This is probably the best of the films that they've made so far.
Okay.
And, I think Man of Steel's better
than this
movie.
And it's aggressively mediocre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely feels like it was made in a blender.
Yep.
And it's odd because it's like, I honestly find myself enjoying these movies more when they're bad than when they're mediocre. Cause at least I can enjoy hating on them.
Sure.
This was like, you know, that action scene was serviceable. Those lines were okay. Yeah. I didn't like some of the line readings, but like it's, you know, but it was like, but it was just, it just didn't have.
There's something missing.
Flow.
There was a soul, like, it is soulless.
There is no emotion. So like in Man of Steel, even I felt emotion and acting and, you know, between Clark and his dad and Jor-El, and there was that there at least. In Wonder Woman, I felt emotional seeing these women fighting. This movie did not make me feel
this,
anything.
You know
this
how
feels,
we talk about Marvel movies, how each movie has kind of taken a different genre.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And that's how they have kept them fresh, right? So yeah. Iron Man was kind of like Swingers, and Thor was like a fake Shakespeare.
Captain America the Rocketeer.
Right. And Spider, the first one, and the second one was an espionage movie. And, you know, and I feel like DC has done that, and their genre of choice is Marvel.
Yeah.
They were like, get me one of them Marvel movies.
Yeah. And they're chasing it.
Yeah. And
they're
like,
a copy of a copy.
Right. And the problem is they're like, even the best tribute band is still a tribute band.
Yep.
And
you lose something in translation when you copy a copy.
And, yeah. And this movie is a tribute band.
Yep. It tries to be the Avengers hard.
It's a $300 million.
And it's like, and they even went so far as to get the guy that did the Avengers.
Yeah.
And even he couldn't fix it.
Well, and like I said, he had a lot going on, and his world was blowing up.
His world,
not in a good way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Joss Whedon's?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What
happened with Joss Whedon? All that. Oh, he was in the same boat with, not in the same boat as Harvey Weinstein, but like he had some past stuff
he's
coming
in a boat.
Out. Yeah, he's in a boat.
Did he just say stupid things?
No, the nerd world's male feminist apparently has been crushing ass
on
the side, and like,
oh, that's right,
and
that's right.
Like the
ex-wife
and his ex-wife was like, this dude is a sociopath, and let me walk you through it.
I had no idea. Yeah. I never heard of any of that.
And that, like, all the time that he's been like, oh, women.
The nerd woman.
So
it's
not an assault thing. It's a
But he's been cheating on his
thing.
Wife with women left and right.
Yeah, and I mean, it also, I don't know that it rises to the level of assault. And I say that because, I mean, like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I literally, like, I don't know
the
details.
It's possible, yeah.
But I will say a lot of it seems to be workplace oriented, that he was using his kind of feminist cred as his,
when we're kind of swooning over him
because that was his line.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. And that it's been going on for
like Buffy
years.
Days.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. That's DC just lost their other exec producer, like Kreisberg.
And there was a Whedon blog that was kind of like it was fan driven, or fan created, but it was kind of like the clearinghouse for all things Whedon. And they pulled their website down.
Oh, did they really?
They were like, we're done with this dude. We're out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's so.
Okay.
Yeah. His world is imploding.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then
he's
associated with a dud, and it is a dud. Yeah. It made $90 million. But when you have the three most recognizable superheroes in the world, and you can't pull in $100 million in your opening weekend, you got a problem.
That's what's crazy about it. But I found it completely, like, okay. You know, like, I was entertained beginning to end. It was short enough. Like, it wasn't 3 hours. But it was just okay.
Well, and I feel like that was calculated. They were trying to pad their opening weekend numbers.
Yep.
And a 2.5 hour movie means one less showing a day, multiplied by 3,000 screens, multiplied by a 4-day open. Like, that, you know, that adds up real quick.
This is a 90s comic book.
If this movie had came out in 2001,
this is a $3 billion
movie. We would
movie.
Be raving about
this. Our standards are so much higher. Though this would be amazing 20 years ago.
But what I mean is, like, so in the 90s, comic books were not writer driven.
Right.
Comic books were art driven. Mm-hmm. The stories were garbage.
Yeah.
The art was.
But it looked cool.
Which
is why I read DC, because DC was more about the writers and Marvel was more about the artists.
Yep, yep. So you had guys like Joe Madureira, Mark Silvestri, Jim Lee. You know, Eric Larson. You had all of these.
So Image Comics.
Yeah.
Yes. Todd McFarlane. Eric.
So Image Comics.
Rob Liefeld.
Stephen Platt.
Splat. You had all these guys who were drawing comics that were out of this world. Now, X-Men's a little bit different because you had Chris Claremont was writing, and he was an X-Men genius.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the other stuff, you know, you did not have the greatest writers in the world. this is that, but it's not good art.
Right.
Yeah, that's that exactly. So let's talk about Steppenwolf, who is completely CG.
Who was the voice?
I don't even know who that was.
Liam Neeson? Ciarán Hinds.
Oh, I thought it was Liam Neeson.
Who's that?
Ciarán Hinds. You recognize him. He was in Game of Thrones. He was in Rome.
I had no idea.
Munich.
Who was he in Game of Thrones?
He was the throne.
He was the he was one of the leaders of the Wildings.
He really gets lost in the character.
Oh, the guy with the beard?
Oh, not the red beard.
Oh, no, the guy that dies.
Mance Rayder.
Yeah.
Snow.
Mance Rayder. Yeah.
This movie is Steppenwolf is terrible. I'm going to go back to this. This movie is a loaded nachos. But then once you get under the cheese, you're like, broccoli? Why is broccoli in here? Because that's how I felt. I was like, I love nachos. Oh, put all the stuff in there. Then you're like, whoa, is that broccoli? Are those peas?
All right, don't put all of it in there.
Yeah.
But Steppenwolf is a mess.
I'm sure they did motion capture on him, but for all intents and purposes, it's completely CG. You never see like a real guy in a costume. It's just CG. And it looks awful.
It looks like something out of God of War.
It is Jeff Bridges' Tron face.
God of War PS2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Jeff Bridges' Tron face all over again. Yeah. Like, it does not look realistic. It's not stylized to be cool enough. It's just bad. How did they have the main villain completely CG throughout this entire movie and have it look that bad?
It's weird. We kind of talk about in Wonder Woman how David Thewlis is the villain the entire time. And you don't see him in CG until the very end.
And even then, it's like,
it's not terrible, but it's not great.
It's not great.
The first two-thirds is so good that it's just
It's like, whatever. And this one, they never give you... The problem with CG for me is you are unable to make any sort of emotional connection with a villain because they're not real. Mm-hmm. You know,
but we've seen it happen.
Unless the whole thing is CG, that's the difference. When you're in a Toy Story world, you make connection. Yeah, when it's a real people, Affleck, all these people, and some fake CG guy, you're just like, what is that crap?
But we have seen Planet of the Apes.
That's true.
Oh no, but it's so good.
Yeah. They were able to it's
Jar Jar Binks.
I
think Jar Jar Binks is a great villain.
but the difference is, Dan, you can't tell.
It was a long way there.
Yeah, it was good though. The payoff was good. Right.
Caesar looks so freaking real. That third movie blew my mind. Yeah, the apes looked real. But that's the problem is that this guy is a cartoon.
I didn't even remember the guy's name when you were talking about Steppenwolf. I was like,
the band?
I was like, John K. Born to Be Wild. Does Batman take a magic carpet ride?
Suki Sue, man.
This is what's that imaginary dragon in
Puff.
That's one of them. What's the one in that old Disney movie that got remade? Pete's Dragon. This is the dragon in that old original one interacting with real people.
New one was really good.
I know. I was going to say that. I was like, you shut your whole mouth.
We all like that.
But you know what I mean? You watch that movie and you're like, what?
It's Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So just Gene Kelly dancing with Tom and Jerry.
It's exactly.
Looks better.
Yeah, but that's fun.
And that had the excuse of it being 1960.
Yeah, right. So, Steppenwolf is coming to Earth because Superman is now gone, I guess.
There's three new GameCubes coming out for Christmas.
Gotta get his boxes.
So the Atlanteans have one, the Amazons have one, and Earth has buried one somewhere.
I remember none of this.
Yeah,
I have none of this stuck in my head.
And when they show that, they go, here's the Atlanteans, here's the Amazons, and here's some ding-dong... burying it in his backyard. Yeah.
It's like this to me was Lord of the Rings. Like,
what they say is that they buried it so nobody could remember where it was. I'm like, yeah, but you got 50 people around. We're all
standing there.
Just look for the fresh sod. Throwing
dirt on it.
So yeah, we get I enjoyed this scene of the Amazons, the Atlanteans, and a Green Lantern and the humans coming together to fight off Steppenwolf.
I'll tell you, Atlantis undersea looks pretty cool.
I'm interested to see what that looks like. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
I like the bubble, how they can talk, and they make an oxygen bubble.
They have to talk underwater, right? So I was wondering how they were going to do that.
Yeah,
I'm fine with how
they did
it.
It's kind of cool.
Mira has that power. Yeah. Like, Mira is played by Amber Heard in this one. Yeah. She'll be... She's the love interest for Aquaman. But yeah, like she can create,
and like
this,
you can exit through it, and it's like the water breaks. Like that's cool.
Yeah,
like
that
a
was
waterfall
cool.
capsule kind of thing. Yeah.
But yeah, they made a big deal out of the Green Lantern being in this movie, and it's a completely un.
Yeah.
I thought it was Abin Sur, but it was like
it was,
you know,
it was a random Lantern.
It was a random Lantern.
It was
which
cool.
is fine.
I like how they good... showed it, and it was like an Easter egg. Yeah. It was like, it, but then the ring goes. Who do you think the ring's going to?
Abin Sur.
Well, yeah.
No, it's not going to hell.
Oh, because it goes to
Abin Sur
first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
and then it goes to Hal.
It's kind of cool, but it's Hal's ring. Like, it's cool that they're leading to that without winking at you. Like, that was a good little hidden thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's eventually going to be Hal Jordan. That's telling you it's...
Oh, you really think...
Oh, no.
You're
no.
adorable.
But you know what I mean. It's like if you know
it
your
is,
stuff...
If you know your history, your
Hal
DC
Jordan's
history...
Hal Jordan's coming, but it's...
It's going to be... Yeah. It's way, way, way yeah. down the line. Yeah. I
As
think
in
they,
never?
Yeah,
well,
never.
In this universe, yeah. it's never.
I did. Yes. I think they may have hinted at Shazam at some point, because there's a bunch of Greek gods in there, and there's one guy that kind of looks like Captain Marvel / Shazam, but that's right. the now we are getting that one. That's true.
Yeah,
but that's not being put out by Warner Brothers. That's the weird part. That's New Line. New Line's doing. I mean, Warner Brothers.
That
is.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's not being. Yeah. It's a New Line production rather than Warner Brothers.
Maybe
and I'm curious what that will look like. Like if it'll be a lower budget and a better,
darker
movie.
Darker and a little bit.
But you cannot do as. Oh God, damn it. You cannot do a dark Captain Marvel.
No.
That is the
smartest superhero ever.
I thought you were talking about Black Adam movie.
Adam movie isn't going to happen.
Oh.
It's Black Adam is Captain Marvel's villain.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
Billy Batson is a beacon of light and hope in the DC universe.
Right.
And that transfers into Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
If they make a dark and gritty Captain Marvel movie, I'm out.
Why would the Yeah,
I know it's not really.
Who is Black Adam?
Rock.
No, but who is the?
So Black Adam is the predecessor to Captain Marvel. The wizard who gives Billy Batson
Shazam.
His power, the wizard Shazam. Yeah. Chose Black Adam first, and Black Adam kind of twisted the power.
Yeah, and he went bad.
And he went bad. The wizard.
His name was Black Adam. For God's sake.
The wizard banished him.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a. He could not find a suitable replacement until he found Billy Batson.
Gotcha.
I felt like Will Ferrell in Old School when they ask him that question and like he goes into that amazing answer and then he's like, what just happened? Where am I?
So the three boxes are hidden and Steppenwolf, the terrible CGI.
So he smokes the Amazons and takes the mother box. Yeah. He smokes the Atlanteans and takes that mother box. So now we've got Cyborg, who also looks like, check your phone, dog. That whole costume looks like.
That actor's good.
I didn't have a problem with him.
I think he's a newcomer.
He's fine.
His delivery, and I thought he's a good actor.
It's just
Cyborg,
always been a dumb character.
It's a
character. He's basically
it's a kid's character.
The Deus Ex Machina character.
Yeah.
He's a teen titan.
It's like, we get him in because
he's a walking sonic screwdriver.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
But I'm people love him. The kids from Teen Titans, they love this character.
Here's the thing, man, is they want a black character in their Justice League movie. There is a Green Lantern that kids grew up with.
Why stop now?
There's John Stewart was on that show the whole time. Hal Jordan wasn't even a thing. No. Hal Jordan wasn't a Green Lantern in those shows. So you've got a whole generation of kids that grew up with a black Green Lantern, and they never talk about it.
Idris Elba, please.
Fine.
I'm just saying
he is perfect. Like,
not in this movie.
I agree.
He shouldn't be. He's been enough in enough bad movies that weren't his fault. Don't wish this on Idris Elba.
But yeah, like that's the thing is, and Geoff Johns has gone on record. He's like, he loves Cyborg. And I was like, that's fine. He's a Titan.
Yeah.
Like that dude is a Teen Titan. He'll always be a Teen Titan. Yeah. He's not ready.
He's
not
like
a big
Dick
league
Clark.
Player.
He'll be a 60-year-old Teen Titan.
Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson?
No, Dick Clark.
Dick Clark is
America's teenager.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
he was always considered a teenager.
Oh, he was.
Here's the thing about Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson can play in the majors.
Oh yeah,
and he Nightwing. Has. Yeah, no, he was Batman.
Batwino. Yeah, he takes over.
And but some of those Teen Titan characters just can't make the jump.
Yeah,
it's just the way it
has
works.
Cyborg never gone to the Justice League.
No, he is now.
So he is now.
Yeah. So when they rebooted with the New 52, they put him on the Justice League.
Because he's super popular.
Right. But the whole point of Teen Titans was it was a super team of sidekicks.
Yes.
So I mean, They're sidekicks.
There's only
most sidekicks can't make the jump. No. That's why they're sidekicks.
Nightwing is the only character,
except
besides the Flash,
Robin, yeah.
And Flash made the jump.
Yeah, Wally West and Dick Grayson are the two that made the jump to the big leagues, yeah.
And they were the leaders of that team.
They were, and that's if you've never read that book, I cannot recommend that book enough. It was outselling X-Men at one point. It was that good. Even check out the Geoff Johns run. Which is just a different, it's Superboy and Tim Drake, and it doesn't matter.
Of Titans?
The Geoff Johns Teen Titans, yeah. And the Marv Wolfman, George Perez Teen Titans,
yeah,
are both great.
The Marv Wolfman stuff, George Perez, those first like 50, 60 issues.
Perfect. Just it's a perfect
great,
run.
Great.
Yes.
So back to this movie.
Yeah.
So Cyborg got his energy from the
Cosmic Cube.
Yeah, from the, but this is the third one, the U.S.
one,
the Earth one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's powered because he dies in a tragic car accident, and his dad uses that alien technology to power him and keep him alive.
Right.
Which, so he's kind of hidden. The world thinks his son is dead, but he's really been doing these experiments on him, and he's ever evolving. So, like, he's connected to everything. Cyborg, you know, he's connected to the super fast internet. You know, he can learn things at rapid pace. So he integrates. It kind of reminds me of, like, how Transformers used alien technology.
No, it was just...
You know, but like, it's like he's that kind of a thing, though. He's like the cosmic or whatever, the alien technology. They applied that to Justice League. That's kind
of
what they're doing.
With a
here.
Side of ugh.
Well, if there wasn't already.
Yeah.
Is his dad a thumb drive?
Here's hoping. Well, by the way, guess what we get in this movie?
The thumb drive.
A thumb drive.
Popped
the
out.
Same thumb drive.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Good. The super drive.
Yeah, the super drive. So Bruce ends up getting the team together and they get beat. And he kind of see Bruce says, we can't do this. And this is the scene that I did like where Bruce is talking to Alfred and he was like, the world needs Superman and this team needs Clark. Like I can't, he's more human than I'll ever be.
Yeah.
And that is a perfect representation of their relationship.
Yeah, I like
because
that.
He is like Clark is the most human on that team, even though he's an alien, even though all of that is true. But he grew up
technically. You know, yeah. That's the technicality. It's like he came to Earth as an infant.
You can so there's different variations on that.
Yeah.
In the John Byrne thing, they say he's not born until he comes out of that matrix. So technically, he's an Earthling.
But in
he's
all
still
circumstances,
not a human. He's not a human, but yeah. He was born on Earth.
Yeah.
But he's either a super tiny baby or he's born on Earth. But either way, yeah, he's American as
you don't
be.
Get the line in the Man of Steel where he's like, I grew up on a farm in Kansas. You can't get much more American than that.
Yeah.
Also, don't tell the army general where your house is, you idiot.
Let's scan Kansas.
Yeah. Oh, wait, here's the giant rocket. Perfect.
Yeah.
Found him. So they get beat. Clark kind of, or Bruce says, we need to bring him back. And they come up with this cockamamie scheme where they take the cosmic cube, the mother box, and they go back to the same frickin' ship
as,
like, How that ship must have been there for 5 years. They're just like, nah, just leave it there. It's fine.
I love that. It's just like sitting there like it's Navy Pier in Chicago. Yeah.
You know that it's like death machine that Luther used? Just leave it where it is.
It's just there like you've got a guy selling churros outside of it.
Stop showing that stupid diamond building that's in Chicago. We all know that Chicago. Yeah. That takes me out of it.
Yeah.
There's only one building that looks like a diamond that glows. It's in Chicago. Yeah. And we especially being close know it. Stop doing it. CGI that thing over. That's not
make
Metropolis
a Daily Planet
or Gotham City when you have a diamond building in the middle of the sky.
That's all you gotta do is make that building the Daily Planet or the Luther building.
Just
either
put
way.
One square building over it. That's, it's so dumb they keep it in there.
So...
But this plan is so...
put Henry Cavill's lip on his face.
Yeah.
You think they're gonna do that?
But this plan is so stupid. So
they have a fight, and they kind of say, Diana is against it. She was like, let him rest. Like, let him be. He sacrificed himself for us. Let him go.
I say the same thing about this franchise.
Yeah, put it down. And Bruce is just like, nope, we're doing it. And it's just like, he's like,
he's the man. He knows better, right?
I do like the line where she's like, you know, if he wakes up and you're the first person he sees... He's not going to be happy. And he was like, yeah, I thought about that.
He was Batman-splaining.
He was Batman-splaining.
Exactly, it was.
And I did like the line where the Flash, he's just, this is the only line from Barry Allen that worked for me.
Totally Joss Whedon.
Are we going to get like regular Superman or Pet Cemetery Superman?
That
got a chuckle.
But then also I liked that, you know that if he kills you or she kills you, we're covering for her?
Yeah, he's like, we're backing her up.
Yeah, I liked all those Joss Whedon lines. They were entertaining to me.
Some of it. Yeah. Not all of it.
Some of it.
I would say like 10% of it. So they, Cyborg and Flash dig up Superman's body. Why is the Flash going at normal speed?
Right. I thought the same thing. You see the Flash scooping with a shovel, and it's like, that is so dumb.
Also,
he's the
Cyborg
Flash.
Could make like a giant backhoe out of his hand.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of weird things in this
scene.
And
your team has one black guy.
And he's digging. Yeah.
And you're
digging.
Like,
yeah.
And he sends
get
him
out
on,
there and start digging.
He sends him on janitor duty.
Right. Like,
but it's like, you know, the thing is we talk about this, like these are superheroes and we're all good with superpowers and in suspending disbelief, but you've created this world and these rules.
I find it hard to believe that the Flash is like, well, I guess I'm digging this grave up
makes
at normal
no
speed.
Sense. It makes
dude,
no sense.
Dude. So they take the body, they go to the ship, and they don't have enough juice to get the cosmic, dang it, the mother
cube,
box, the mother box.
Box
to work. So the Flash is like, I can run real fast. And I feel like that isn't a representation of this entire movie, where he's just like, you remember in the old Super Friends cartoon? Where they're just like bucket of water and a fish.
Oh yeah,
and like
the
Flash
Wonder
is
Twins.
Yeah, the Flash is
who
like
save the day way more than
as a bucket
they
of water
have.
And a fish. Than,
it was all
you know.
No, it was always a some. It was like a it was a monkey in a bucket of water. It was always a monkey in a bucket
no,
of water.
Bleep,
that's all.
Bleep
took.
Was there.
Well, no, I mean like it was like a gorilla. In
oh
a
okay,
bucket
okay, okay.
Of water. It was always like
a mop and a 2x4. I don't know how that works, but all right.
Yeah.
Well, like the Flash only just runs fast. Like that's all he really does. So he creates enough electricity where he. They're just like, you have to time this perfectly where as soon as the box hits the water. So they've taken Clark's body, put it, submerged it in this goop that created Doomsday. Mm-hmm. The Flash hits the thing and Clark immediately wakes up and he pops out of the water and he shoots through the thing.
Yeah.
And he lands at his monument that has been destroyed from the Doomsday fight.
Why at the end of BVS did the dirt move? I mean, it just like kind of negates.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's like he should.
You know
he should
negates?
Have just came back alive and bust out of
you
the grave.
You know what else doesn't
something.
Make any sense? The dream sequence from Batman versus Superman, not referenced at all, except they use the plan.
He predicted the parademons. That was the parademons.
Where was the
right?
costume that he wore?
Well, right.
And he says she's the key. Mm-hmm. Save Lois.
Oh, that part did. You're right.
Yeah.
So
like,
the Flash, like traveling through time and all that, never was even a part of it. But yet, it had the parademons attacking.
Well, no,
so.
I mean he tells Bruce
and Darkseid symbol.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and the nightmare mm-hmm. with a K.
I don't know, man.
Right. Like, that's the thing is, like they tell you in that movie, and then they go ahead and do it, but there's no reference to the armor that Flash is wearing.
Yeah.
In the whatever.
Yeah.
So Superman destroys the Justice League. Like he's pissed. You know, he doesn't have his memories back all the way. He's super disoriented. The scene that I got a kick out of the most. So he's got Wonder Woman in one hand, Aquaman in the other hand, and the Flash is going at super speed around him.
I love this part.
And he thinks he's got him, and then all of a sudden Superman's his whole head turns.
Yeah.
And like the look on
I love it.
Barry's face was pretty good.
Yeah.
He was just like, crap.
Like, I love that part.
I'm not as fast as I thought I was.
I knew it too. I knew that he was going to turn his head or move the eye.
It was good.
It
was
so
good,
funny
was
when
scene.
He looks at him.
It was a good scene.
It was good.
And he destroys them all. He grabs Batman by the face in the daylight. And
this is so weird.
He was like, "Do you bleed?" And I was like, "Okay, fair enough."
Yeah.
I liked the scene when he was on the ground writhing in pain.
Yeah.
Something's definitely bleeding. That's Whedon. I mean, it's just that's a good line.
But that's not a Batman line.
Right.
Batman wouldn't say that. Batman would get up.
I thought she came with you.
Yeah. Like, Batman gets up, and he gets in his car. He goes to the cave, and he was like, can you fix me, please?
It's better. In Zack Snyder's version, he asked Wonder Woman if she bleeds.
That's true.
So,
it was super awkward.
That was wrong. I know. I was appalled that Zack Snyder would even do something like that.
What if Zack Snyder is, like, the second in command of the Broverlord?
He has to be. He's the second highest lieutenant.
So.
That's true. So, yeah. So, Lois shows up.
The big guns.
Of course, she says Clark in front of 30 people.
Yeah.
And follows it up with his social security number.
Yeah. Gives him the address of the
Kent
farm.
What is she doing?
His internet password.
His home phone number.
Yeah. The fingerprint lock for his phone.
Right.
It's a mess. So
the house has been repossessed by the bank.
Which is
Netflix
whatever.
Netflix password.
I give mine out. It's
just
fine.
Put that out there.
Yeah. So, I liked when he stops. And looks at her like that. I was like, this is the dude. Like, this is Superman. And he's able to give a little bit of, like, he has never been able to give any range whatsoever. And now we're starting to get that character. Mm-hmm. And then, so they have a moment, a good moment. I liked their interaction. Their interaction here felt more.
They fly to Kansas.
But I felt like this interaction felt more natural than anything we had seen in the last two Superman movies. Like, their interaction between each other, I felt that they were a couple.
It's just too little too late.
I agree.
It is.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
So they go to Kansas. The scene in that trailer that we thought was a dream sequence, to their credit, it's not. Like, that was a good little bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there.
What was that? I don't know.
Where, so he's out in the, he, so the,
oh, he's in
we
the
think
field.
It's a, we, he's in the field.
Oh.
And I think the line, he says like, oh, you kept the ring.
So is that a yes?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So is that a yes? Gotcha. And then she, and then like in the trailer, she wakes up.
Okay.
So you're under the, but it's not. And he gives a, you know, they give a whole little, and I like their interaction where he's just, she's like, you would be disappointed in me. I wasn't the woman I was before. And he was just like, it's fine. Like, it's okay. I'm back. I'm never going to leave
what
again.
Else, baby?
And now he's apologetic. And I guess I got to thank Bruce.
And I liked that scene. Like, I was like, okay, this is Superman. Like, this is the Superman I've been wanting to see since 2013.
She says, suit up.
Well, yeah. And
He
goes, you called her? And she was like, of course I did.
Oh,
and then here comes Martha Kent. Yeah. And I thought that interaction was great.
And I'm sorry, but Diane Lane, they are olding her up and making her, she's starting to be a caricature of the old ma.
Yep.
And I'm like, when you know, it's like, and I think about like how we get Marissa Tomei as Aunt May. How great that is.
Right.
Refreshing. And then you've got Diane Lane.
I still feel
Diane,
this.
Lane,
who is not
related to
as
Lois.
Old
oh.
as they make her seem,
right?
And playing like, oh yeah, it was like, whoa! You're starting to make her a caricature. It's like you just let her be. You
let
know,
her be Martha.
Let
her be.
I don't like that they've made her character sort of like, you get on the face space and it's like whoa.
Aunt May's not that bad as a caricature, but I hate how they're trying to de-hotten Marissa Tomei, like with the big glasses or whatever, because they're trying to do that, and I'm like,
I don't think they did.
No, they didn't at all.
Well, I think they tried.
Didn't feel de-hotting at all.
No, but
in fact,
I
was like,
she looked like a million.
You
bucks.
Own those high-waisted pants.
But I just feel like they're trying to make her an older Aunt May, but like Marissa Tomei is totally hot. You can't do that
because everybody
I
in the movie
she was totally hot.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Right. Because it doesn't work. I'm saying they're trying to, and it's like you can't do it.
I would agree with you if everybody in the movie didn't compliment on how hot.
Right.
She is. Everybody in the movie. Tony Stark.
Tony
is fired.
Stark is firing on her.
The guy at the bistro is always talking about how hot she is.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think. I think she was more of a hipster. But yeah, even, they're all firing on Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
But I agree that Diane Lane, who is she's younger than Marissa Tomei, or the same age?
No. She's. I think she's older. But I also think that they're just kind of made her sort of like a cartoon
the old woman Ma Kent.
Yeah.
And
like,
she's not.
No,
so yeah,
you don't have to do that.
So he's like, I gotta go. He's like, I guess I owe him since he did save my life, and he leaves. And so the Justice League they've set up. They keep going back to this. I'm not recording. Is that me?
You're recording.
Okay, good. I thought I was on the bottom.
No.
Okay. So there's this town in Norway, I guess, or Russia. I don't know. Nondescript town.
A town near a nuclear reactor.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, right. So maybe it's Russia. Yeah. Either way, they have. So now Steppenwolf has the third cube. Mm-hmm. He's put them together, and all hell is breaking loose in his town.
Why did he want to be there? Because there was no one around? What did they say in the movie? They try to explain.
It's because it's so off the grid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah
no internet, nothing.
Yeah.
None of what Steppenwolf is doing has anything to do with anything.
Anything, yeah.
Other
it's
than
so
it's dumb. Like, it's just generic villain with generic cronies.
This was the most visually offensive scene of this movie. Like, I thought in the trailer when they show the scene of Aquaman flying,
surfing.
Yeah.
I thought, I was like, okay,
maybe
they hadn't finished it yet. Like, maybe there's more coming. Nope. That's exactly how it looks, and it looks terrible. There's nothing in this scene that looks good. So they're losing. They have lost, basically. And then you basically get the, excuse me, General, would you care to step outside? Off camera, Steppenwolf turns around, and there he is. Like, there's Superman, who wipes the floor with him without thinking twice. Like, anything that Steppenwolf is throwing at Superman, he's just like, yeah, dude, whatever. Blam!
Shoots him with the eye lasers.
Yeah, heat vision. Come on. Be better.
I don't know.
Yeah. So he realized, like, Cyborg realizes that he can't get these three boxes apart. So he has to have Superman help him. And anytime he is Superman is interacting with other Justice Leaguers, it's Superman. Like, he nails that character because he goes up there. He's like, what do you need me to do? And he was like, I need you to pull these boxes. And he has a little quip. He shoot, you know. So big fight scene, blah, 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 blah. They break the boxes apart. Steppenwolf loses, basically. And the scene where, so like, they're both knocked backwards. And of course, everybody thinks that he's dead again. And I was like, oh, they kill him a second time.
No.
Are we that far away where they may?
No,
or may?
No, never for a second did I think they were
dead. Just having fun with it.
Just having fun with it.
No way.
So he starts laughing. Like, he's smiling and laughing. It's not weird. Like, that is Superman.
Yeah. It's natural. It feels natural. It just felt a little too over the other side.
Didn't feel like that for me at all.
Really?
Yeah. So you do get a 2 seconds of the original Superman theme. Like how we said in Creed, Creed earned that 3 second clip of the Rocky theme. They don't earn it in this. Yeah. It does change the tone. Immediately, as soon as the movie. Yeah, right, right.
I didn't even catch it.
Oh, really?
I caught the Batman thing.
I caught the Batman, but,
I did not
either.
Catch the
when,
Superman
when
theme.
When Steppenwolf knocks him back into the wall,
yeah,
it comes in real quick, and then it's gone. I'm so disengaged.
Yeah.
And it's like, that theme to me is like iconic. Everything about the character that I love.
Yep, I agree.
So I would want to hear that theme.
It was also like in a weird, like,
it wasn't like he was on the. He wasn't coming back.
It, like, the music didn't swell. It was just kind of mixed in.
Yeah,
with some other music.
I did not catch it, which is
because
I
caught it, but I was like, oh, was that the Superman?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Like, you know,
I don't know. I was so visually disengaged.
So they say they're like. So the parademons are attracted to fear. So
they take Steppenwolf off.
Yeah,
away.
They take him through a boom tube, and that's, you know, the.
Yeah, that. By the way, their little transport system.
The boom tubes.
Okay.
Or boob tubes. Whatever.
Those are terrible.
Right. I forget to mention
that.
Those
things look awful.
Yeah. I don't think they looked as bad.
They look pretty terrible.
They look pretty bad,
they're as bad as everything else in this movie that's CG. Though.
So there's a good scene where there's civilians in this town, and the Flash is trying to get him out, and he can't do it by himself. And Superman shows up. He's like, what do you need me to do? And Superman says, you take the left, I'll take the right. So Flash basically has a truck with a family in it, and he gets them off in the distance, and then he turns and looks, and there's Superman carrying an entire building.
I like that, too.
Well, all right.
Yeah, that was good.
That was fine. And that's how it ends.
I really questioned the architectural design.
I know, I was like...
Well, the foundation was hanging on the bottom there, you know.
If Thor Ragnarok has taught us anything about foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you get a good foundation.
Yeah, exactly.
That foundation's gone.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. Make you're alive. Sorry, I was thinking of a better movie.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah. So that's how it ends. Like, the league is together. The bat suit looked like garbage.
It did.
Like, it looked like
bad, weird. And the more they took off, like, the cowl and the cape, you're just like, it kind of looks dumb.
Yeah, I don't mind. Like, I've always liked that look of Bruce.
No. It just made the suit underneath.
Yeah, sure.
Look flimsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't look as high tech of armor as he should have been wearing under the suit.
Right.
It looked like a gray shirt with some little pads on it.
Yeah,
I was like, that's not armor.
That's protective than I thought it was.
Oh, so I can just slide a knife in between those little
pads.
I'd be Batman.
Yeah, he should have had some still awesome looking armor underneath the arm. Like, you know, not just some little padded blocks.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget the Aquaman confessional. Because that kind of played well with the audience.
I enjoyed that as well.
You know, the audience kind of laughed.
What was that again?
Where he starts, like, confessing. He was just like,
he's
going
like,
through this big confession.
We're all going
to
die. But then he's like, but then he starts to get kind of
I never really
heartfelt.
Had friends. And
you're
I never
like,
blah, blah, blah.
Oh, with the rope, yeah. The
and it was like, I was like.
Batman walks over.
That's weird.
And he takes, like, he's sitting on the lasso of truth. And gives it back to her, and she was like, yep, that's a thing.
Yeah, because he's like, but you guys might be the closest.
he's kind of
misty-eyed.
He starts
like,
talking about Wonder Woman. He was
what?
Like, and you.
And you're gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then he walks to the Flash. He's like, you tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joss.
That played well. It was one of those moments where it was like, okay.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You know, and the Flash thing, too, with Superman. I was like, okay. But again, those are like... They're just like, there's no connective tissue between
None.
All of this.
Yeah. No.
It's a cute moment that doesn't, that doesn't, you don't arrive at it organically.
You know what that fits in? An Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm. Because
not
it's,
movie.
We've earned
it's
their
connected.
Team. Yes. Yeah, they're
right. There's like four times in this movie where I either laughed or liked it.
So, oh, right on.
So how does how does the movie hit the credits? Steppenwolf's carried off, and then what's like the ending?
They go right into the middle of the Wade Manor living room.
Oh, that's right.
He's like, well, I'll just put it here. It's like
a round table.
You
know,
you should do these things secretly. Like, you can't have a secret lair with all the heroes, but if you want to put it in the living room so like during the holidays, everybody will see you all eating turkey.
Well, just want there.
Can I tell you how much I love those like posters of the heroes in costume, like carving a turkey.
Yeah.
I love those posters. But or Superman carrying like Santa's sleigh.
Yeah. But I mean, know. I was like, you know, you got a whole cave underneath.
Yeah.
Why would you put it in the living room?
Dude, we don't know. We've never seen the cave underneath.
But you know what I mean? I'm like, it's in the room with all the windows.
Right.
It's not a cave. It's a cave. It's kind of like a bat cave.
We never saw the cave in this movie.
Yeah, he says it. Barry Allen says,
he did.
This is like a cave. Oh, a bat cave.
That's the cave under the other building.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
Not there is a bat cave.
It's a bat. It's his bat cave. Okay.
But anyway, so then we get two post-credit sequences.
We get a mid.
It should have been flipped. In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, so the first one we get is, I almost called him Wally. Barry.
Rocky and Apollo.
Yeah. And I like this scene. Like, I like the.
Except for the clutch cargo.
Just run. And I like their interactions between the two. He's like, I've always kind of wondered. He's like, well, all right, here we go. There's a great panel like that in Flash Rebirth where Barry Allen has just come back from the dead. And Superman is just like, hey, man, I've been there. Like, you're a little off. If you want to talk, whatever. He's like, Clark, I'm not in the mood to talk. And he's like, Barry, you know you can't beat me in a race. Like, you never beat me. And he goes, those were for charity. And he's gone. And Clark's just like, well, good luck. All right. And the second post-credit sequence is you get a helicopter flying over a boat.
Post-credit sequence.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I was like, that cost a lot.
They go to Arkham. And you see who you think is Lex Luthor, you obviously know it immediately. It's not going to be Lex Luthor.
Because he's from the back.
Correct. Then we cut to a helicopter landing on a boat, and who gets off the helicopter but Deathstroke?
Yeah, Joe Manganiello.
It looked good.
I thought it looked really good.
I thought Joe Manganiello looked good. Like they.
I mean, all they have to do is get the armor right.
Yeah.
You know? It's like good. Deathstroke, you just have to get the armor right.
No, you kind of got to get his look.
I know, but it's like, Daredevil in the TV show looks great because they spent some money on doing the costume.
Right.
But look at how easy they could get some other things right and they don't. So it's like, this looked good.
Yeah. And he kind of.
I was excited because we kept hearing that Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke was dead in the water with the whole Batman, Affleck not doing his thing. And then we get this. So, like, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. It's funny you think we're going to get Justice League 2.
I don't think we're going to get Justice League 2.
But that's what this is setting up
for. Oh, yeah.
So it's Lex Luthor, and he kind of says, doing the whole thing. And he's like, it's not really fair that they have their own league. What do you think about getting the band together? You know, some bullshit.
A legion,
if you will. you know what would be cooler? if the boat looked like the skull thing.
What do you think Jesse Eisenberg gets paid for something like that?
$500,000. Million. I think he could pay it a million.
I don't think he could pay a million for that. He's not that good.
He is that good. The character is not that good.
Yeah. I don't know.
What scale?
But he's clearly not getting scale. So Ironhead Studios, they're an amazing studio. If you've ever seen the work they do, they do a lot of like the armor and headpieces for a lot of these movies. They did Hela. They did Thor. They're hella good. And I saw like... it was like Tested, which is Adam Savage's new thing, and they were talking about the Black Mantis they couldn't show. So I was like, oh, cool, Black Mantis, we're going to see that. So they did one, and so I'm assuming, I guess it's for this Aquaman movie.
It
may or may not happen.
I hope it does. Like, Black Mantis got one of the, his helmet is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's a cool costume.
Yeah, it was pretty, but I think they like, I mean, this is a studio that like, can pull it off.
Yeah.
I was like, I was kind of looking for it, like, maybe we'll see it in this. And I was like, or not.
You get Deathstroke.
Yeah, I don't know.
You get another Deathstroke.
No.
We've already had him on the TV show.
And which was good on the show.
Yeah.
Honestly, they did the armor good on Arrow.
They did. It was really good on Arrow.
You know why? Because it's a helmet and some armor.
Yeah. That's all you really need.
Then you got to just make sure you get the Pantone chips right on the colors. Because you got to have a blue and an orange.
Yeah. Not red and black.
Congratulations. You got the you bought the Pantone book.
Well done. And that's how it ends. This movie's a mess. They had some bright spots.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was way better than I expected. Yeah. I thought it was okay.
No, yeah. I can't give it. I can't say it was okay.
Really?
No.
I just was like,
will I watch it again? Probably.
What is okay? It wasn't great or good. It was okay.
People ask me, like, well, should we see it? I'm like, no. I go,
so you think it was
bad? I'll tell you what. I go, they messed up Wonder Woman. They
what's the
messed
difference?
That up.
What's between okay and bad?
Well, loaded bad nacho, is... It's loaded nachos with broccoli. I'm just saying it.
It's like,
I got loaded nachos and there's broccoli in it.
Bad means
meh.
You can't wait to ever think about it again. It's horrible.
No.
Okay means like, oh, I was, okay, it was for 2 hours. I
no.
didn't hate it.
I'm
it
in between.
Mediocre.
Mediocre. It was meh.
It was aggressively mediocre.
Yeah. They had promise, and then they didn't deliver.
I mean, there were a few bright spots, yeah. And like even the stuff
hey,
that,
easy Danielson
that I didn't like, I get why you did, right. You know what I mean? But it just didn't work for me. Yeah. But there were some bright spots, and there were more bright spots in this than any of the other movies we've seen so far, with the exception of Wonder Woman.
Yep.
And if they put out a longer director's cut, after watching the BVS director's cut, which yes. helped the mess, but made me angrier.
Sure.
It's like, I don't want to devote more time to this movie.
It's almost like it's the Suicide Squad director's cut as well. Like, it's...
Oh, God, I've never tried to watch that.
Won't even look at it.
I can't
believe...
Did you watch
it?
I did. It's... I mean, you know, I'm a completist.
Why?
I just want to see it.
Talk about bad movies.
You are.
Because that one's so bad.
And?
You're a masochist.
It doesn't help.
And when he tells you it doesn't help, that means for regular people it made it worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
what does Spath think of it?
Spath? Oh, are you kidding me? Like Spath, so he and I were texting. But he saw it on Tuesday. I saw it on Friday. And immediately when he must have known exactly when I was getting out of the theater, because I got a text, and he was like, "What'd you think?" Well, how about, he goes, "How about that Green Lantern?" And I was like, "Oh God." It was not good.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, like Suicide Squad, I turned it on while I was bagging and boarding comics. So like when there was a scene I didn't recognize, I was like, oh, okay, back to that. Yeah.
So Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yes, I do.
Superman 4.
I actually, no. This is something that, let me open up my reference here because it was way back in 1979.
Oh, it's not what I thought it was.
Is the Legends of the Superheroes?
Yes, it is. What
live
I
action
was.
Television special.
I was thinking of the TV like Justice League.
Yeah, and there was two episodes of this. I don't know if you remember. This is when we got to see the reprisal. This is I think the first live action appearance of the Justice League.
Okay,
this is when we got to see Adam West and Burt Ward back as Batman and Robin.
A little pudgier.
Yep. We got to see Frank Gorshin return as the Riddler. We also got to see. And this is where they all gather. So we got to see Batman, Robin, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Captain Marvel, Huntress, and Black Canary.
And
this
when
is
was
all,
this?
Is
1979.
Yeah.
79. I don't remember this.
Yeah. There's sort of like a show. You know, it's kind of like
it's like a stage play, right?
Yeah, it's live. I think there was is there a laugh track?
There might be.
And the second one, there definitely is, because the first one is sort of like they're all uniting for the retirement of superhero Scarlet Cyclone, but then the Legion of Doom show up. So you got Riddler, Weather Wizard, Sinestro, Mordu, Dr. Savannah, Giganta, and Solomon Grundy, because I totally remember Solomon
Grundy.
Born
on a Monday.
Born on a Monday. So this was supposed to like be in the same universe as Batman 66?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's Hanna-Barbera produced.
I've never even... heard of this.
But then the second episode is a celebrity roast with Ed McMahon and all of those actors. And it's a roast.
Yep.
Like, as those...
They do it in character, right?
In character.
Yeah, right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. You need to see this.
I do need to see this.
Mm-hmm. But
stopping this episode right now.
I think you can go to Warner Brothers, like, premiere or whatever and buy this.
Yeah. You may find this... I had to say, I was like... Is that more entertaining than this movie? And I was quandering.
Without having seen it last night.
I'm going to say yes.
And it is. That's, I was like.
That sounds amazing.
Just for the oddity of this. Especially once you get to the roast with Ed McMahon, you're like, all right. You guys go all in on this.
There was that.
It
and then
a
there,
weird.
There was a 1980s.
Weird. Oh, yeah. That too.
Justice League. Pilot that was Guy Gardner, mm-hmm. Barry Allen, Martian Manhunter, Fire. It was that DeMatteis Giffen Justice League. and it is bonkers.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's crazy. And when you look at the costume, you're just like, well, what planet did you think this was? You were going to get away with this?
I also don't want to forget the new characters. Ghetto Man.
Oh, dear Lord. It was 1979, wasn't it?
Who was the old man? Was that Cyclone?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Ruth Buzzy's in this.
He was Old Man Man.
Old Man Man.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
The first live-action Green Lantern and Flash.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I have to say, if you can find this.
Superman in that. That's weird.
Is it not on YouTube?
There's bits and pieces on YouTube.
I'm almost positive. If you know how Warner Brothers has.
Yeah, they'll burn one for you.
Let me just say. Like, I watched this, and this is coming off the Star Wars Holiday Special. I'm like, all right, let's try this again. Let's see. This is okay. So, like, around this time of my life, I had already gone through Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yep.
I had gone through Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yeah. So you were probably like 12?
So I'm like, at this point, I'm 12.
Okay.
And I'm like, give me something. I'm gonna try this. And I watched the first one, and I was like, okay, it was kind of like Batman and Robin. And then the second one, the roast, I was like, what is this?
And they 12 only
year
made,
old me was just like, whoa.
They only made two?
Two.
Made
two. Yeah, two episodes.
So if you can find it.
Kids, you don't understand
it
how
is.
Good you got it.
Yes.
Oh, but
back then, it was like, yeah. And that second one, I was just like, as soon as Ed McMahon pops up, you're like,
what
is this? I think it's
kids don't know how good they have. It's funny. I was going through my Facebook memories, and I had a post from a couple years ago when it was Monty Python was doing a reunion show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. The thing I wrote with the posting of the article was like, kids, you don't know how lucky you have it. When I was a kid, a comedy legend making a comeback meant Joe Besser was at the car show.
Wow.
That's what we got.
Yeah, right.
That's what we got.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you, Dan.
Yes.
So I guess that's it for this episode. It tells you everything you need to know about this movie, that we did a comic book movie, and we are at
one hour.
119.
Batman versus Superman was a 2.5 hour episode.
And like normally, it's like my wife's like, oh, a comic book movie?
I know.
You're going to be down there for 2 hours.
I know.
It's like,
nope. No, I think we'll be all right.
Nope. We probably could have almost done a 60 minutes or something.
We could have, maybe.
We could have.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett or on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe if you would like to continue the conversation online. And my guess is you do.
Yeah.
My guess is
please do.
You have lots of thought. There's no way you saw this movie and don't have a thought on it. So chime in.
Please.
And we would love to hear it. So find the episode posting and let us know what you thought and what we got right and or wrong.
We didn't get anything wrong.
Mostly right, though.
Yeah.
Mostly right. So anyway, you could do that at facebook.com/realspoilers and join the League of Show Sharers while you're there. Go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, etc. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week will be Coco.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Cocoa.
Yeah.
Hot Coco.
Hot Coco.
We'll make some during the show.
We'll have to bring some little marshmallows. It'll be delightful.
I'll tell you what, if you've never been to one of those Disney Mickey's Christmas parties,
I have.
They hand out the hot cocoa like it's breathing
crack.
Air. I mean, it is some good stuff.
It is good
stuff.
I
had three or four hot cocos.
And then they make it snow.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Cool.
They make got a snow machine. They make
it's
it snow neat. On Main Street.
They
it's
give
cool.
you bundles of four or five cookies at every stop and then like drinks and stuff. I just couldn't even walk.
How much
to get
weight
out
did you? How much weight did you put on?
Oh, probably at least 10 easily.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
We want to do that, but I think we're going to go to Anaheim. Just kind of hoping that one because they Nightmare Before Christmas up.
Yeah, that's
really that's neat. I've done it. I saw it last year. It was cool.
And then so Guardians like, too. You can try.
Yeah,
so that'll be cool.
I'm like, let's go there, and maybe the crowds won't be as bad. I don't know.
That's
wishful
thinking. Yeah. So, but anyway, that's I guess we'll be doing Coco next week.
Yay.
So sounds a little dirty when you say it like that. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Jason Todd is the Red Hood. 'Cause we can be heroes just for a minute.
softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.